Would you pray with me?
Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, for you truly are the one who strengthens us and redeems us. Amen. For most of us at this point, it's all over. The presents have all been opened. The beautiful gift wrap is in the trash, or in our case, it's already been picked up by the recyclers. And all of the carefully kept secrets that we've treasured over the past month or more are known. Of course, we still have New Year's next Wednesday. But over the next several months, there's really nothing except a birthday, perhaps. Yeah, we have Valentine's Day and things like that, but they don't rise to the level of Christmas. And this feeling was brought home to me once some time ago by a recently divorced woman, and she shared with me that she thought Christmas was going to be okay. But she was afraid of how things would go after Christmas. The time after, for many people, the time after is indeed a wilderness. The midnights are not so clear. And we don't hear too many angels singing glory to God in the highest. And there's no baby in the manger. Today, as we gather on this first Sunday after Christmas, traditionally one of the low Sundays of the year, one of two low Sundays of the year. And the question that concerns us is, how do we keep from letting the bottom drop out of Christmas? And our passage from Matthew reminds us that it doesn't come easy even for the Messiah after Christmas. Jesus was subjected to a bumpy donkey ride. He was a Messiah on the run. Definitely not fun for an infant beyond a few minutes. And let's face it, for many, the time after Christmas is cold, dull, lifeless time. The Holy Family has fled, and all that's left in the stable is some old hay, a cool draft, and if we're lucky, a few lingering memories. Spiritually, the time after Christmas for many is a dead time. Doesn't it strike you odd that we can have the spiritual high of Christmas and then just a few days later, the spiritual low after? Of course, you are here, and I'm grateful for that. But I have to admit that even my faith doesn't have that grand and glorious feeling that it had Christmas Eve. The energy, the fervor, the focus, the directness of Christmas make it very easy to have faith on Christmas or at any other high holy times of the year, such as Easter. I remember a cartoon once that had two people talking. One person remarks to the other, "I have never had any problem grasping the true significance of Christmas." Where I run into difficulty is grasping the true significance of the rest of the year. And even as exhausted as we can be on Christmas Eve, we can still salvage Christmas with its focus and its emotions. Then the bottom drops out, and there's nothing. The shepherds are back in the fields. The wise men have left their gifts and taken the next plane back to the east. And the Holy Family have taken off to Egypt, running for their very lives. It doesn't come easy, not even for the Messiah. Louis MacNeice writes in Twelfth Night, "For now the time of gifts is gone. O boys that grow, O snows that melt, O bathos that the years must fill, here is dull earth to build upon. Undecorated, we have reached Twelfth Night. Oh, what you will, you will." The wilderness of the time after can be such a disappointment. With even despair, as pointed out by the divorce woman. Remember that it was an angel who told the Holy Family to flee to the wilderness. And what's important about that is that tells us God is present in the wilderness. God is present in the time after, as it were. The angel would not have told Mary and Joseph to flee to the wilderness or to Egypt if God was going to stay in the manger. The word is flee. Flee south into the wilderness. Flee into the hands of God who will be with you the whole way. There's a wonderful hymn that we've sung a number of times. God of our life. And the first two lines of each of the verses. God of our life, through all the circling years, we trust in you. God of the past, our times are in your hand, with us abide. God of the coming years, through paths unknown, we follow you. God of our lives, of the past, God of the coming years, not God of the highs and God of the celebrations, but God of our lives, the highs and the lows. The fact remains that in the ordinariness of the wilderness, the simplicity, God meets us more intimately. It's easy to believe that when the celebration is going full tilt, but the real test of faith is how strong does it remain in the middle of the wilderness, in the middle of February. For God's revelations come in the ordinariness of life and not in just the divine dramas embellished with customs and traditions. That is what the incarnation was all about. God becoming human to share the joys and the hurts, the highs and the lows that we experience. The writer of Hebrews writes, therefore he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself was tested by what he suffered. He is able to help those who are being tested. God knows what it's like to have the bottom fall out. He was born and was the recipient of adoration by shepherds and royal gifts from three wise men, and then finds himself fleeing to Egypt to escape Herod's wrath. W.H. Auden wrote a poem. Well, so that is that. Now we must dismantle the tree, putting the decorations back into the cardboard boxes. Some have gotten broken, and carrying them up to the attic. The holly and the mistletoe must be taken down and burned. The children got ready for school. There's enough leftovers to do warmed up for the rest of the week. Not that we have much appetite, having drunk such a lot, stayed up so late, attempted, quite unsuccessfully, to love all of our relatives, and in general, grossly overestimated our powers. Once again, as in previous years, we have seen the actual vision and failed to do more than entertain. It is as agreeable possibility. Once again, we have sent him away, begging though to remain his disobedient servant. The promising child cannot keep his word for long. This Christmastide season, let's have the courage and the will to hold on to a shred of the angel's song. Not throw it all away because it seems too cold and cheerless for news, good news, and adoring shepherds. Let us adore God in the wilderness, knowing that God understands. God has been there. Let us take the faith of Bethlehem into the wilderness with us, for only then will God's incarnation have any power and truth. When we believe that God is the God of our lives, then God will be with us when it seems to be fleeting, retreating, isolating, and fearful. Let's remember that on the low sunny, the Sunday after Christmas, Ethan stood there with wonder in his eyes, looking up at that tree and saying, Christmas, Christmas tree. And hold that through the year. This year, and years to come, may you not dread the day or the morning after, but see it as an opportunity to enter an intimate relationship with God. Let us not be, as Auden said, the promising child who cannot keep his word for long. It doesn't come easy, not even for the Messiah. But Christ was not only saved from Herod, but remained holy and obedient to the end. May we have the courage to do likewise. If we do, then just maybe we'll hear a Gloria in February. Amen.